Oh, baby, how you lying? Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hello there, my friend. The ADA 25th anniversary was this week. J.R. Harding, advocate and author, will be with us in the second hour. And our good friend Bert Pope has something quite awesome that he wants to tell us about. So you stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is coming at you right now.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars, too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800. So here we are, and talking about awesome things happening in Tallahassee, and Bert Pope is going to tell us about something he's calling awesome. I think it's awesome.com. I don't know. He'll tell us what this is all about, but his concept is that, I guess, is based in the idea that we all need to be encouraged along the way to consider how awesome we are, right? Well, I mean, sometimes I do things, I guess, that others might consider awesome. I'm trying to think of any, but, well, so maybe you know some people who've done something that's awesome, or they are just awesome people, right? So then what you do is you send them an awesome. I guess it's sort of like tweeting them, right? Or liking them on Facebook? I don't know. We're going to find out from Bert Pope. He's here to tell us about that. This is a guy who, you know, he's kind of quirky that way. He comes up with these rather curious ideas and seem to have a lot of traction with people. You may recall, too, that he has been a proponent, an advocate for this recognition that Tallahassee, arguably, by all historical evidence, archaeological evidence, is the site for the first celebration of Christmas in the New World. Okay, so that's a cool thing, and Bert's gone at great lengths, as have many of his colleagues, to encourage that recognition among the state legislators and state legislation that would acknowledge and recognize and fund the recognition of Tallahassee as the first place where Christmas was observed. This would have been DeSoto and his posse, his gang that hung out here, wintered, as it were, over a period of number of months. I don't recall exactly those dates. No, thank you very much. But it happened, yes. And Bert's going to be here to help me better understand all this and talk about that. So that's going on in the first hour. There's a whole lot going on around town that you need to tap into. This being Saturday, we have the continuing observance, speaking of advocates, of the ADA 25th anniversary. Now, this is the Americans with Disability Act that was passed at the federal level 25 years ago. Well, Tallahassee, along with communities across the nation, joined this week in acknowledging and recognizing that, celebrating that fact. And Tallahassee Talks was at the observance yesterday. There was a march downtown and guest speakers, including our own Commissioner Curtis Richardson, who spoke. A number of dignitaries, commissioners and city leaders, community leaders, and folks from across the region, from Ability First. We had people there representing the Florida Disabled Outdoors Association. Lots of folks, and you're going to hear some of those people we had a chance to talk to on site. Yes, and we were part of that march. They had a march that spanned the distance between the parks down there at Adams Street and Park Avenue, marched all the way down to City Hall, and in doing so brought attention to this notable event. And I think what you're going to find out in listening to J.R. Harding, our guest in the second hour, this is a phenomenal occurrence. That is to say, this is a significant occurrence in the ongoing struggle for civil rights among all Americans. And so, no less, the Civil Rights Acts that we are quite familiar with, including, all the way back to the Emancipation Proclamation. Well, here comes the passage of this legislation 25 years ago, this ADA, that allowed for and provided for the rights of disabled individuals, giving them access, making sure they were not denied employment, or any of those other fundamental rights that you and I take for granted. Somebody observed, the handrails that you find in public restrooms and such, or any facility, any building now that has public access, right? Well, those were hard fought. And access ramps, all of those sorts of things that have now become a lot more common. And what we're going to find out, too, with JR's help and his guest that we have with us, Christy Avalos is the last name. Yeah, Christy Avalos. She's got her own company, Accessology. We'll learn about that. We're going to find out from these folks that, yes, this has been aimed at helping and securing rights for disabled Americans, and yet all of us have benefited because it's changed not only the landscape for them, but for us as well, families of disabled folks who then are able to participate at large with all kinds of activities that otherwise they'd have to avoid. And so it makes good business sense, as it turns out. It's actually healthy and healthier for all, both in terms of its personal implications and the benefits that it brings to any one individual, but as well to all of us who then are benefited economically, because you're looking at 20 million people who can participate economically, who become better customers and employees and business owners. Because of, in large part, the ADA. So a big deal here in Tallahassee. We're privileged to be a part of it and glad to have with us J.R. Harding. He's got a new book coming out. I guess it's in print now. It's available. Yeah, it's available on at Amazon.com. ADA Adventure is the title. ADA Adventure, A Quadriplegic's Journey. It's quite a story. If you're not familiar with J.R. Harding, owe yourself that opportunity. His first book was entitled Now What? And that is more of a personal description of his own personal challenges and struggle and overcoming the disabilities that he was faced with. A remarkable story of an individual who is inspiring in the very least sense of that term, but entirely motivating and challenging to all of us who would consider our limitations more than we can handle. Well, this is a guy who didn't know what that meant. He just kept charging forward. So it's an encouragement to anybody who finds themselves beset with some kind of obstacle, let's say, whether that be physical or emotional or societal. This is a guy who said, yeah, get out of my way. Let me show you how we do this. So that's a great story there. The title of the book, again, Now What? And then his latest title, ADA Adventure, A Quadriplegic's Journey. Folks, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Don't forget that we are brought to you in part by so many fine sponsors around the community and around the region. And we're able to participate in this conversation with you on a weekly basis because of their participation with us. So be sure to thank them for their support of Tallahassee Talks. You can find a number of them at our website, and that's TallahasseeTalks.com, simple enough. And we want to make sure that you are reminded our Tallahassee Food Challenge is ongoing. So we want to make sure that we continue to remember those who are in need of our help in feeding those hungry families that they serve. All of the food charities in our community need our support. You can find out more about that at our website, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Bert Pope. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, our good friend Bert, who is a prominent realtor here in the Tallahassee area, has been for a number of years. At some point, you probably bought a house from Bert.
I don't know if everybody in Tallahassee's bought a house yet, but I look forward to that.
Let's work on that. Let's see if we can, because there's a lot of houses out there, and they need to be purchased, and some need to be sold and such. And so the real estate market has been a challenge
right
over
on.
The last 10 years.
Right on.
But Bert Pope Realty is still here.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Dear Lord. And I don't know that there's enough time in the show to talk about all of the ramifications of that and the permutations and the conflict.
Well, the good news is that it's on a good track now.
It's heading. Now, the other day I picked up on a note, and I didn't really dig down on this one, that talked about Leon County sort of trailing against other state markets, real estate markets around the state of Florida. Is that your understanding, that we're really not where we need to be? We're kind of falling behind? And
well, I think, see, those other markets also crash a lot harder than our markets do, too. So the percentages might be
point.
A little bit out of whack.
So they fell further, so their reclaiming of that is more dramatic, where ours is kind of slow and
correct.
Steady.
Correct.
Well, to the point, you are still here, but with having done the business of real estate closings and all of that, which I don't mean to diminish in any fashion whatsoever, because I realize that that is, as one of my dear friends Harold Feener told me many years ago, many of you remember Harold, who is a great guy and a realtor, and he said, Brian, he said, the biggest challenge in this business is competence. Because unlike when my father bought his first house, there was like one or two ways to finance. You borrow some money from your bank, you know, maybe you go to a mortgage lender, right? Or a savings and loan kind of thing. And that's it.
Yep.
And comparatively, I come to you and say, Bert, I want to buy a house. Okay. What are the ways I can get funded? How much time do you have?
Right.
So the funding opportunities are astounding. And for a person to be, or a firm to be acquainted with all that, to me seems it would have to be a person who's pretty sharp and pretty dedicated to maintaining that competency, right?
Well, it's fascinating how it's kind of changed here, and not really actually in the last 4 years, it's really taken a very interesting twist, and that is that it used to be we always negotiated just buyer and seller. We get the deal done and we have a contract. Yeah. Nowadays, it has the ability to actually change sometimes because you have the insurance companies and the underwriters with the lenders and the appraisers. Yeah. All these guys have now taken on a little bit of a funny little, I don't know what it is, but it's like their own little twist to like, yes, the appraisal is acceptable at this, but you have to have this and this done.
Well, they all have skin in the game.
Well, yeah, and they're taking a little bit more liberties than they used to back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I first bought a house, 85, 86, in Leon County, and the lender looked at the appraiser's report, the appraisal, and she read it out loud for me, and I was green as the grass. Never bought a house before, you know, and she read this out loud from the appraiser, who said, mixed land usage, and that was describing the neighborhood where this house was located, mixed land usage. And she looked at me, she said, what is that? Mixed land. I said, well, we got some guys that have cows,
right.
Some have horses. We don't have any of those livestock on this property. We're just trying to buy a house. And she remarked how foreign that seemed to her. And it sort of illustrates your point here that she was the lender. You know, what difference does it make from her point of view? Nowadays, it makes a big difference, doesn't it? The role that these folks play in the whole process.
There's a lot more scrutiny and there's a lot more fear with the lenders. There's no accountability so much with the insurance companies or the appraisers. But with the lenders, they're so scrutinized by the feds that the underwriting, there's no real consistency to the underwriting. It's always some little bizarre little twist right in the last three or four days that you get some little nonsensical thing that everybody's going, what?
Yeah.
So, and then the real challenge is when you have three sets of that, where they come back and go, well, now you gave us that. Now we would like this. And then we got this, and now we would like that. And it's almost too much for the sellers. I've seen and heard of many, not many, but a half a dozen in the last few months where people go, you know what? This is so difficult. I'm just going to pay cash.
Yeah.
And you go, wow, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't get the banking system in line enough to where people make it, you know, where it's easy enough to borrow money, that's not a good sign.
Not a good sign. Folks, we're talking with Bert Pope, a realtor here in Tallahassee. Got lots of good things to talk about. How long are you from Tallahassee originally?
Yeah. Third generation.
Where'd you go to high school?
Leon High School, class of 84.
My goodness. Like other famous people that have come from the ranks of Leon High School, he is famously known around town for the manner in which he has done business. I think that's a fair statement. Not to embarrass you too much here, but I think that your reputation precedes you as a realtor. And now he comes to us with news of this next project, like so many local Tallahasseans seem to be doing these days. What is it with you people? You get bored? You don't have enough to do?
I think
go sell a house, man.
You know, Leon County is something in the water or something that makes us want to have the entrepreneurial spirit something.
Yeah, we've gotten a healthy dose of that over the last several years. And Bert, you've certainly contributed to our conversations on that level or in that area. We're going to talk about that as we continue here with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. want to remind you folks that we are still engaged in this thing called the Tallahassee Food Challenge. In fact, the Tallahassee Food Challenge goes on throughout the year. So this is your reminder to check us out online, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. That's where you're going to find out how you can help us feed hungry people in our community. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Todd Cutlip, General Manager of Browning Moving and Logistics in Tallahassee.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Bert Pope and we're talking about perpetuating positivity here. This is a guy who is a native of, what'd you say, 13 generations?
Three generations.
Your great grandfather fought in the Civil War or something. I don't know. But you've been here long enough to know better, and you've chosen to continue making Tallahassee your home and your place to do business as a realtor. And then you get goofy on me, and you start doing these crazy things that I don't understand. I really don't, Bert. You were doing just fine.
Oh, right on, yeah.
And you decide that you're going to take up this thing about the first Christmas in the New World being celebrated right here in Tallahassee. How's that effort going?
It's going great. We were able to get $500,000 put into the kitty to help redevelop the area that comes off of Appalachian Parkway
right. That's
being developed. So there's going to be a direct access now off of Appalachian Parkway that comes up through to that DeSoto Park right there.
Yeah.
That shows where they celebrated America's first Christmas.
Okay, boys and girls. Now, for those of you who have missed this part of the conversation that Bert has very... very religiously has been trying to get in front of us for, I don't know what.
It's been a while.
10 years, it seems like. I don't know. The historical fact is this. Go ahead, Bert.
They found in 1988 this site that is right between the Musical Moon and Cascades Park.
Yeah.
Right off of Lafayette Street.
Yeah.
There is an office park that was being developed. And when they did the scratching of the surface to create the foundation for the business for these offices, they found these artifacts.
Mm.
And as they dug... They called in the big archaeologists to come and check out what these artifacts were, and they found things that they knew were over 2,000 artifacts, I believe, that were absolutely where Hernando de Soto spent the winter of 1539. Huh. And this was also the Indian village of Anhinga. Which was the Apalachee Indians village, which was the capital of the Apalachee tribe. Kind of cool.
Hello.
That it's right there next to the capital.
Yeah.
And so he had with him priests that he brought with him that had a communion, full communion set. The actual map that was created after these guys with De Soto came back to Europe created a map of the Florida coastline and the southeast, and the river that we call St. Mark's River was actually called the Rio Navidad. And so they parked their boat down in the St. Mark's River and got their supplies from the St. Mark's River and carried them up through and spent the winter. And that was the first explorer that spent a winter in the New World.
Yeah.
And so we know that that is the first place where
by
Christmas
logical
was.
Extension,
exactly.
You would say.
Absolutely.
Here we have people who are part of this whole expedition. They are Catholic. They're church people, right? They have
right.
a priest with them.
Right.
They're going to celebrate Christmas.
Right.
And bring to us pork. Which is great.
Oh, gosh,
yeah,
yes.
So we're like the pork capital of the New World.
Yeah, Hernando de Soto. If you go to Des Moines, Iowa, in the National Pork Producers Office, there is a mural of Hernando de Soto with pigs. They call him the father of the American pork industry.
I mean, so once again, Tallahassee and its history contributes to the well-being of barbecue all over the world,
right,
because of our ability to host this Hernando de Soto back in 1539.
Wow. And it was Christopher Columbus that discovered barbecue when he landed where the Dominican Republic is.
There we go.
And so, hey, how was he preparing that pork, you know?
Rub or sauce? Right. That's always the question. We have to ask Tim Center about that, since he apparently is the expert now, the resident authority on all things pig.
Right.
So at least as it's consumable. So here we go with your effort then to bring that to our attention and bring it to the attention of a national audience, even global, and say the first Christmas was celebrated right here. And I know you've done a great deal to try to bring that forward through the legislature, through your public.
Yeah, we've had the public. The legislature has given a nice commemoration to the site, as well as the Senate. Mm. And dude, it's like having the Mayflower in the middle of your city. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. This is 1539.
Yeah.
St. Augustine wasn't established till 1565.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about, we're definitely older as a city than St. Augustine, but this is, it's just fascinating stuff.
200 years better prior to our even conceiving of America in the New World as an independent country. Wow.
But this is where these two worlds collided. And I think it's something that over 500, almost 500 years ago, that you're sitting there seeing, you know, this European, these guys on horses, which the Indians never saw, having pigs. They never saw pigs before. And they've got these guys coming up through the coastline, having guns and things like that. These guys could have come on from outer space.
In spaceships.
And it would have been equally as crazy.
Indeed.
With them landing, with these ships coming on water and everything. It was blowing their minds.
Folks, we're talking with Bert Pope, who, for his part, is trying to help us better get a grasp of not only the neat things that we do now, but our history and the place that we are as a community in this modern world, looking back 500 years and saying, hey, man, the first Christmas was celebrated right here in Tallahassee. Now you've gotten goofy again, and you've created this next thing called
GiveAnAwesome.com.
GiveAnAwesome.com. Tell us about that.
Yeah, me and my buddy, Jimmy Fasick,
okay,
great attorney here in Tallahassee, and just an uplifting dude.
Another goofy guy.
Yeah, right on. And we were hanging out in Hawaii this December with our families. And every morning we would go to get coffee for our wives. And, you know, we sit there and as a couple of guys going to get coffee, we talk about everything, relationships, God, our faith, and all these type of things. And we kind of came together on this one thing that would perpetuate the positivity that's sorely needed out there in the world. And that was just to give gratitude. And the way we thought it would be best is just to tell somebody they're awesome. Like, hey, man, thanks for being so awesome. Hmm. And what came out of that is what we developed when we came back in January was we created GiveAnAwesome.com. And that's where you can go and celebrate somebody, a relative, even a random person, somebody that the person that gives you coffee or the guy that fixes your car or the teacher for your kid. You can say, hey, thanks for being so awesome. And you go to the website and you select a pre-done little kind of card that says, thanks for being so awesome, or you're awesome, or whatever. And you take that and you place it either on their social media or your social media, and you're able to celebrate them. We've taken it to another level too, though. And now we've turned it into an aggregator, which is actually going to be a vortex of awesome, where we're going to be able to do campaigns where you can do hashtag, you know, give an awesome, or hashtag awesome dad, or hashtag awesome mom. These are different hashtags that you won't have to go to the website. You can go and do it on like YouTube and say, hey, mom and dad, you're awesome, and hashtag give an awesome. And that will come into the aggregator and through to any and social media, and everybody can celebrate it and feel, and this is going to just ping positivity. And when me and Jimmy sit there and we're having our talks, going to get coffee in the morning, we do a lot of vacations together with our families because our kids are the same type of age.
Yeah.
So we sit there and we feel that it's just ourselves. If we just concentrate on us, like just me, if I start and I'm positive, then my family is going to feel good because I'm pinging positive. And then those guys are going to feel good. And then how great will everybody around us be doing?
Very cool. Talking with Bert Pope here. GiveAnAwesome.com is his latest enterprise. We're going to learn more about that. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In business, time is money. And in times like these, money is tight, every second counts. Downtime can be deadly. That's why Tallahassee business owners trust the good guys, Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. They keep business up and running hard with reliable, proven, first-time right service. Lighting, expansion, maintenance, replacement, repairs, and installations. Lawson & Lawson, giving business owners and homeowners better solutions, too, with energy-efficient green ideas to help squeeze every penny. That's what business owners need, and that's why they call Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. And you should, too. Don't waste precious time. Trust the good guys at Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. Call 562-4111 or on the web at llelectrical.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
It's called GiveAnAwesome.com. This is the latest from this rather goofy guy we love, Bert Pope, who wants us to just kind of, what did you say, perpetuate positivity.
Ping positivity.
Ping positivity.
That's
and
what...
what's your aim here? Are you trying to like cure all of our social ills and rewrite the book? Or
It's just kind of like, you know, you can either wake up and be grumpy or you can wake up and have a good feel for the day.
See, it's guys like you that really just tick me off because I was doing just fine. My day was horrible as I expected it. And then you come along and ruin all that with your blasted positivity. I have a friend who posts photos, Dave Barfield. He's an amazing photographer, sizably contributes to the publications around this community and beyond. And he's posting pictures of his adorable kid.
Right.
And I'm thinking, will you please stop it?
Because
I was happy being unhappy. And then you come in with your awesome, givenawesome.com. I don't want to be awesome. Does that, of course, I'm playing with you here, but does that occur to you? Does it seem as though maybe you're just being a little too Pollyannish for our taste? You know, we need to just grow up, Bert.
It's funny that it's already out there. Yeah. You know, everybody, it's almost like people are thirsty for more positivity. And it's easy to get down. And it's easy to be condescending and judgmental and things like that. Sometimes it's easy to go that route. But in a positive way, it can perpetuate itself as well, you know. But negative, my dad used to say, garbage in, garbage out, you know. And if you go down and you start to get negative, that negative will perpetuate itself.
Yeah.
But the same way with positivity, you know, if you get in a positive frame of mind, wow, you know, things start smelling a little better. They might look a little bit better, and everybody has a great attitude around you. How did that happen?
You know, there's that that verse in Scripture, love begets love, right?
Right on.
So that's what you're saying here. It's, and there is for you a faith perspective. This is your foundation, huh?
Well, I think if the word awesome was around when the Bible was written, it'd probably be in the Bible like 500 times.
I see. Okay. Well, so this giveanawesome.com. Now, it's a website. It hasn't quite launched yet, but it's going to happen.
Right.
And you're going to keep us posted on this, right?
Absolutely.
So we'll know when it's about.
Yep.
So we should be geared up and check that website as it debuts.
Right.
We're thinking it's going to be within the next couple of months, weeks. We don't know.
Next month or so, or 6 weeks. And what we're trying to do is have the biggest launch in the first 24 hours. And we're looking for awesome ambassadors out there.
Ah.
So if you get a chance, go to giveanawesome.com and look for how you can be an awesome ambassador. And we're going to try to do something fun like an ice bucket challenge type of thing in the first 24 hours to ping that amount of positivity.
Folks?
We want to do a million awesomes into the world. And what we're trying to do is get an awesome ambassador in every 50 states.
Sounds like a Guinness thing to me.
Well, exactly. Yeah, we've got Guinness that is going to be there. And hopefully,
not the beer. I'm talking about the book.
Yeah, Guinness Book of World Records. Right, right on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a little of the Guinness brew would be nice, too.
Oh.
Who knows?
Yeah. Sure.
Throw that in there.
Right.
That's awesome.
Right.
Okay. So, in fact, you think that as a community, meaning all of us here in Tallahassee and beyond, we start sharing awesomes with one another. Where does that lead us? Does that take us past, meaning that, okay, what's next? I mean, do we just keep kind of thumbs up with everybody? Where else do you see this going? I mean, what's the potential, I guess?
Hey, you know what? That's God's deal.
Yeah?
As far as where whatever
goes,
as far as, you know, it's just going to be me. I'm just going to, I want everybody to just worry about.
So you don't have another agenda beyond this. This is not like a scheme to, you know, launch another real estate endeavor. This is just Bert Pope doing what he wants to do.
Yeah, me and Jimmy Fasig.
Yep.
And we're buddies on this, and we just want to put that ping of positivity out there for everybody to be able to have a vehicle to be able to enjoy having some fun.
See, and the reason I tease you with that question, when people were talking, imagine Tallahassee, right?
Mm-hmm.
I heard people saying back to me, and I thought the remarks were rather cynical, but, well, you know, that's just a bunch of people trying to feather their own nest. They're going to try to grow their own real estate interests, and so, you know, they don't have a altruistic motive here. This is all sort of self-oriented, and so their hidden agenda is, you know, the bottom line, we'd say. Well,
yeah.
You know, here you're talking about something. I don't see the monetization of this. You're just doing it because it seems like the right thing to do. It's something you want to do.
Right on. I mean, I think it's going to be great, and I think everybody will enjoy it, and it'll be able to ping. It's going to be fun. I mean, these awesomes that the artists are creating for us, for people to be able to select to give to others.
Yeah.
Are fun. They're whimsical. They're. It's like, hey, you're an awesome dad, or you're an awesome teacher, or you're awesome, or wicked awesome, all these kind of different sayings with fun little pictures, and actually, you have the ability to put your own picture into the awesome to create your own, like your kid's up at bat, and you go, awesome kid,
you
know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a celebration of positivity.
A celebration of positivity, folks. We're talking to Bert Pope, who has certainly done his part in trying to help us all get positive here and give an awesome with this website, giveanawesome.com. You know, it reminds me back in the day, and I won't tell you how many years ago this was, I was running what was at that time the only Christian radio station in Tallahassee, WCVC Radio. This is going to be like the early 80s. And I was at the airport to welcome Jerry Falwell, and met him there with a group of other media folks, and we were at that time, looking at the whole business of the pro-life movement, and that was a real hot issue of the day. And his comment was, I thought, reflective of his approach. And he said, "I'm not out here to curse the darkness. I'm here to light a candle."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I hear in your saying about this Given Awesome a similar sort of perspective, that there's enough of the negativity out there, and our job is not to try to stop that. Our job is to state the positive.
Right. And I'm not here to preach, you know, to anybody to, you know, say you need to be doing this. It's it's like, hey, this is something that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And if you want to enjoy this thing that I've done, then and me and Jimmy have done, that you know, jump on it. It's going to be fun. This is a fun ride here.
Very cool. Folks, Bert has generously given of his time. Bert Pope, local realtor, a businessman, entrepreneur, creator of very cool things, including this idea of celebrating life and perpetuating positivity, pinging an awesome remark, a statement that says, hey, you're awesome, and whatever we call awesome, whatever we decide awesome is. GiveAnAwesome.com is the website, and Bert Pope, our guest this morning. Thank you for being with me.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate it. Folks, that's what we have here in this first hour. We're coming up to ABC News. Remember that our sponsors make all this possible, and we want to give a shout-out to our good friends over there at A Country Rose Florist. You'll find them online, acountryroseflorist.com. Annette McGuffey and her team with the best in floral design, cut flowers and gifts, and catering. Check them out. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking about the ADA 25th anniversary. Now, for those of you who may be yet new to this discussion and are wondering what ADA stands for, well, that's the Americans with Disability Act that was passed 25 years ago. We have in this hour the very able J.R. Harding, who himself has been disabled, but in his ability to advocate on behalf of those who are disabled in some manner, he has been quite effective. And as an author, has published two books. His most recent has been released, a few months ago, very recently. We'll talk with J.R. about the books and about his journey thus far, and how it is that the ADA is such a significant part, not only of securing the rights of disabled Americans, but how much impact it has had for all of us at many, many levels, in terms of individual rights, accessibility to employment and education, even this greater sense of us all being connected and being less differentiated than we might otherwise think of ourselves, and having much more in common. I think that if you want to go with me on this, I think the deeper, more significant aspects of this for us as a culture, as a society of people, is that we recognize some of the common elements of humanity that really do have us all tied together. So when we acknowledge the fact that disabilities, be they physical or emotional, whatever we may be facing, cannot divide us. You know, that there is something beyond the disability that unites us all in some common quest. Well, isn't that constitutional? Isn't that what was promised? That we would pledge ourselves as a nation to the pursuit of happiness, the pursuit of that which according to the Constitution, is about securing rights and privileges, establishing for our citizenry the ability to pursue that course of life, to secure happiness for oneself and one's family and such. Well, so the ADA is certainly another stellar event, another star in that galaxy of achievement politically, educationally, in which we've all learned better what it really means to be human, what it means to be an American. And in learning that, we apply it not only for those who are directly affected, but across the board for all of us in all kinds of ways that are somewhat economic in many cases. I think JR is going to tell us about a hotel owner who found himself benefited by the fact that he really took to heart the spirit of the ADA. And in building this hotel, he went way beyond what was the minimum requirement in order to be compliant with the law, allowing for things like showers that have wheelchair access, right? So this guy said, well, yeah, I don't want to just do the minimum. I want to be different. I want to be able to accommodate a larger number of people so that there's this sort of open-armed embrace of the concept. Well, that kind of determination, to me, is what we are oftentimes missing in our communities, don't you think? We had Mayor Gillum with us here last week, and if you hadn't had the opportunity to do so, if you missed the show, go to the archive and listen to some of his comments about what differentiates Tallahassee from some place like Ferguson or Charleston or Baltimore. How is it that we see these horrific, terrible events occur that, in fact, he says, are really not that far out of reach for us as a community if we aren't paying attention to how we manage ourselves? How do we go about embracing the best in all of us and then applying that across our community? How do we make sure that we're giving as much effort as we can to granting access and opportunity? That's how healthy communities thrive. They find themselves embracing more and more people at lots of different levels, giving access to people economically and socially, so that our lifestyles are not segregated and splintered. Well, here comes the celebration of the 25th anniversary of the ADA. There was this march yesterday celebrating the fact that we really are united in this common way. Take a listen to some of the conversations that I had. This is a guy named Rich LaBelle. He's the executive director for the statewide organization Family Network on Disabilities.
We are a statewide, family-led and family-driven grassroots organization that serves all people with disabilities and their families. And we're here today as one of the main sponsors of the 25th anniversary celebration for the Americans with Disabilities Act, and we're very excited to be here. The ADA is one of the major civil rights pieces of legislation in our country and has served as a model for increasing disability rights for people around the world. So we are just very happy to be here and celebrating its quarter of a century.
That was Rich LaBelle. Had the chance to talk with a couple of other folks. Dan Moore, he is the executive director for a regional organization, Ability First. Let's listen.
We're an agency that provides a range of services to persons with disabilities in a 6-county area around Tallahassee. We're here today as one of the sponsors and participants of this great event because 25 years ago, the real first civil rights legislation for persons with disabilities that outlawed discrimination was enacted. It's hard to believe that that was only 25 years ago that it was legal to discriminate against persons with disabilities. And we're really happy locally with the changes that have occurred in all aspects of the lives of persons with disabilities because of the ADA.
So there you're getting a bit of the flavor, I guess, of how we are being perceived from some of these larger organizations around the region, around the state. Tallahassee being at the center of this observance on this occasion, when there were, oh, I don't know, 300 or 400 people, we all marched from Park Avenue down to City Hall in observance of this 25th anniversary. We had Curtis Richardson here, who spoke with us briefly about his involvement, Tallahassee City Commissioner Curtis Richardson.
I'm here this morning representing the City Commission and Mayor to give remarks on the 25th celebration of the Americans with Disabilities Act. But personally, I've always had an affinity for working with persons with disabilities. I'm a school psychologist by training. And so that's where I got my start 30 years ago in the Gadsden School District, working with children with disabilities. And now I'm very involved. I'm on the board of the Florida Disabled Outdoors Association. Have been very active with Ability First and served on the board of the Family Cafe, all organizations that serve persons with disabilities in our community.
And, of course, our friend David Jones. Many of you know David for his work with Florida Disabled Outdoors Association. This is a guy who he's always on, right? Very energetic individual. David Jones spoke with us briefly.
And we're here today to celebrate. We're celebrating 25 years of earning and gaining our independence and freedom and choice. We're here to celebrate opportunity to participate. Well, really, our goal is to reinforce the importance of the ADA and what it's done for so many people over the years in all walks of life. So that's what we do, get people moving. We want people to be active, eat well, live active lives, and be healthier, happier, and more productive.
That was pretty much the spirit of this whole thing. People were really excited about the opportunity to commemorate the occurrence. In fact, the people in attendance came from all walks of life. That was quite notable. And in fact, you found there was a kind of spirit of, it was more than just a commemoration. There was a celebration. And in that, it felt to me as though this was an observance that pointed to the very best in America, the best in all of us, as we gather together for this occasion. Folks, stay with me. We've got J.R. Harding standing by. He'll be with us through the hour. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
So we are here with our good friend and noted author, a guest speaker, an advocate nationwide, J.R. Harding is our guest. How are you, sir?
Wonderful. Great to be here with you, Brian.
Again. You're
fabulous.
Back.
Yes.
And what a great occasion to have you here, and thank you, because I know that for you, I mean, this is another one of the many stops that you have along your trail of appearances, and everybody loves you. Everybody wants you to be at their thing. So for you to make time is a great pleasure. And on the occasion when we are celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Is that the right way to say that? Yes. ADA.
ADA. Absolutely, Brian. 25 years ago today, the president signed into law on the White House lawn that changed the lives of 57 million Americans.
Somebody asked me about that. What's the deal? Why is this so significant? I said, well, ask any African American about the Emancipation Proclamation, whether that had anything to do with the future of civil rights and accessibility.
Or voting rights for women.
Or voting rights for women. Yeah, there are all kinds of places in our history as a nation where we've had to stop and go, wait a minute, that doesn't work. I should be quick to say we also have with us Christy Avalos, who herself is an advocate and a consultant, as it turns out, many other things contributing to our understanding and the advantages that we have now societally, we'll say, because of her work. Christy, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm really excited to be here.
Are you?
I am.
Well, obviously, JR told you a lot of things that are probably not true about me.
Of course.
Well, thank you for keeping
most welcome.
Keeping that's up what, the ruse.
Right. Well, that's what friends are for and why we are here and partly why Christy wanted to join us.
So she's believed the lie that I'm something really important here. But I have to say what's really important to me is the fact that so many of us who are listening to you this morning have the opportunity to learn further how not only ADA has contributed, but then people like you are out there every day on our behalf, really. And I say on our behalf as a nation, on behalf of not simply those who are faced with some personal disability, but it's really all of us. And I'll tell you why I say that, because I think of the football stadiums and the hotels and the restaurants, all and there are many examples, are different now. Different in a way that advantages not only those who are disabled, but their families and all of us who are business owners, right?
Well, right.
Am I right?
You can skin that formula any which way you want, and it's only a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
It's about inclusion. It's about economic distribution. It's about profits. It's about families laughing, crying, and singing together. It's about tailgating. It's about eating, breaking bread together with a family, you know, like Thanksgiving or dinner or an anniversary at the restaurant, right? These are moments in time that you can't ever get back and that we strive as families and individuals to get as many as we can, because that's really what life's about, is enjoying those precious moments with people who we want to be around, be with, and do things that we share.
And in celebration of that, we have just enjoyed, as of Friday morning, this march from the corner there at Adam Street and Park Avenue, right there next to the Doubletree, and then all the way down to City Hall. A number of folks that are local, many who are national, in their scope, were there to celebrate this. Christy, that's got to be pretty cool for you.
It really is. I try every year. I try to go somewhere special for the celebration. I was there on the White House lawn when it was signed.
Really?
I was there 20 years later for the 20th anniversary. Some with many of the same people that. You know, we're looking forward to what the ADA was going to be all about. And then they were looking back at what's happened over the last 20 years. And this year, I'm very honored to be in Tallahassee and to be part of this celebration.
Remarkable.
And yeah, it is. It's fun.
Tell me, how did you get involved? Obviously longer than 25 years ago, but what was the starting point for you?
In 1977... I worked at a convalescent home for children in Des Moines, Iowa.
Ah.
And it was...
You were what, like 12? 13?
Actually, yeah. I was 17.
Okay.
I was 17. I was in college at 17.
Right.
There was this one particular day, I can pinpoint it. It was February 12th, 1977.
Ah.
That day, I took these kids that I was taking care of. And there was this one little girl named Sherry. She was 4 years old. She had multiple disabilities, undiagnosed. And when they introduced me to her, they said, "This is Sherry and she'll never walk." And my first thought was, how do you know? You know? And so she had a real visual problem. You'd walk by her crib and she'd turn her head back and forth trying to get you into that one spot where she could see. And I took her in and I gave her her bath. And I went by this little boy's crib whose name was Sean. Now, Sean was 2 years old. He was born without eyelids. No eyelids. Mm. They had done a surgery to bring a piece of skin on each side of his cornea so that he could have some protection for his eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a trach tube that, I can't remember why he had a trach tube.
Mm.
As I took Sherry in for her bath, he was batting at his mobile and I just kind of tickled his toes and kept going, gave her her bath, got her all ready. And when I went back, I realized that Sean had been laying there crying. He had a completely expressionless face and no ability to make noise because of the trach tube. And he needed help. And so I had to suction out his trach tube. And I sat there and I held him. And I thought, you know, sometimes I think my problems are so big. And I missed, I'm sure when he hit his mobile, he was saying, hey, I need help, and I missed it. And I felt horrible, and I sat there and I held him until he went to sleep. And then later that night, I was actually playing cards with one of the, he was a 13-year-old little boy who had muscular dystrophy. And he was, you know, he remembers walking, he went into a manual chair, he had just gotten into a power chair. And we were talking about what he wanted to do with his life, and he said, I guess I'm going to be a radio DJ. And I said, why, you like the radio? And he goes, well, not really. But what I really want to be is a pro football player. And we all know that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that night, mm-hmm. I just, there was this pain in my heart that said, these are people wow. that have hopes and dreams and goals and desires. And they laugh and they cry and they bleed. And I've got to do something to help them. And it became a purpose, a God-given purpose. Mm. To make a difference in the lives of people with disabilities.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We are talking with Christy Avalos and J.R. Harding, and we will continue right after this.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Kathy Griffin, president of Widden Glass.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with J.R. Harding. If you have just joined us, he is an author, a disability advocate, nationally recognized, a speaker, and his colleague Christy Avalos with us. Her company is Accessology, by the way. Accessology is a very cool name for a company that does some very cool things. We're going to get into talking with Christy about some of her adventures in that whole arena, no pun intended. And at the same time, we just got through hearing from Christy about her beginnings in that. And JR, your observation is what? That many times there are people walking past us, they're right there in front of us, and they are dealing with life and their particular disabilities, and we all have them. I'm visually limited, I wear glasses.
Actually, that's correct, but that's a disability that can be corrected through a tool.
Yeah.
But there's many individuals every single day of our lives that we really don't even know it. And Christy was talking about the young boy who wanted to be a football player. Well, in fact, Derek, I think it's Derrickson with the Seattle Seahawks, he's hard of hearing, and he's on the two-time Super Bowl champion just recently. We all remember Jim Abbott with one arm for the baseball, right? All-American Cy Young Award, right? I think a perfect game, right? He's in the Hall of Fame. Baseball signals were actually developed in the late 1880s, early turn of the century, because of Jim Shea, an outfielder who was hard of hearing and couldn't hear the baseball umpire. So that's where our signals of out and safe and ball and strike came from. And imagine that. These things are now
remarkable
everyday parts of our lives that all came as a result of our inclusion and our celebration of our abilities. And that's what this march is about and why hundreds of people have joined us today, literally from all over the state. Mm-hmm. We've got a guest speaker from FSU, a student. You know, she's a straight-A kid, okay, Sarah. We have John Kemp down from New York. He is a remarkable individual with both all four limbs. We're born, you know, inappropriately, or I guess a quad amputee. Right. Yeah. So he's got four sticks.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazingly. And then it was funny because when I was making his reservation and he came down as a favor to fly down and add his perspective and his story for us today, I said, hey, don't worry, John, I got you a roll-in shower. Right, and that's one of the accessible rooms that are required in hotels for inclusion. And he says, JR, he's like, they didn't have those when I was growing up, so I actually like the old ones. I learned how to take care of myself when there wasn't accessibility features.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Right. Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Yeah,
he was the original poster child for Easter Seals.
Is that right?
He was, yeah.
Remarkable. So, folks, if you're getting the sense of this, Tallahassee is quite fortunate in that in this weekend of celebration that began Friday and continues today, I guess it goes through tomorrow and Sunday as well.
Well, really, it's all over America, and the White House and some of the other folks have been doing things all week long.
I see.
But ours is focused this weekend.
This weekend. So in celebration of this 25th anniversary of the ADA, the Americans with Disability Act, and its significance, that has been a sort of culmination then is what you're saying, because throughout our history, we've made these adjustments, we've made accommodations, and we're better off for having done so. The thing that I find striking, and you have this one example, I think, of a hotel where they didn't just do the bare minimum required by law in accommodating folks with disabilities. The guy has something like 60 rooms. Tell me about that.
Well, there's a gentleman down in Orlando, and I don't know if I should put out the brand name.
Why not?
But Rosen Hotels.
Yeah, let's tell him.
Okay, and he's a self-made man. He's an American story
who
believes in diversity, who believes in opportunity. And the law requires only that 3% of his rooms have physical features to it, like a roll-in shower, grab bars, and things like that.
Okay.
And then hard of hearing rooms for fire alarms and stuff is 5%.
I got you.
Maybe you can't hear, but you don't need all of the stuff JR needs, so why should you be in my room?
I see.
Kind of thing. But when you build a property of 1,400 rooms and you only have that 3%, and really a roll-in shower is only required to be 1% of the 3%.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about 100 rooms, there's only one JR can use.
Yeah.
Okay, so then this gentleman just decided that, you know, he saw down the food chain that we would need more.
You know, I have personal experience with this because we put people up at a hotel, my son and his wife and her mother, who needed a roll-in shower. Well, it turned out it wasn't. The hotel owner misrepresented that whole thing. But by the time they got there.
Right. And if you show up at 10 o'clock at night, the last thing you want to do is running around looking for another place.
Yeah.
Right. And the whole transportation that comes with it, because maybe you're coming from the airport and the cab dropped you off and it grows. But building on your story, we're having our business meeting there because there are 16 of us who volunteer our time, and all 16 of us have mobility challenges.
Okay.
And all 16 of us require a roll-in shower. And this is one of the very few hotels we've encountered that could accommodate everybody.
Very cool.
At one time.
And it's the Rosen?
Rosen Shingle Creek.
Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando. Write that down, folks. Well, let's give this guy a little spiff for having been so thoughtful and having the business savvy, because that's really the advantage, isn't it, Christy, when people realize I can bring everybody to this restaurant, I can bring everybody to this hotel. It makes good sense business-wise.
It does, and it's a marketing opportunity that people don't ever even think about. years and years ago, I worked for an airline, tried to get them to include people with disabilities in the advertisement, in their commercials, and they went, oh, it's so sad.
That's a downer. We don't want to talk about that. Right.
And we spent this whole day. I finally got their approval. And we spent this whole day with people with disabilities, filming them. And at the end of the day, the only one that made it to the actual commercial was an actor with a fake broken leg.
Okay.
There are real people with real disabilities didn't make it in, and because people don't realize
that's
that
crazy.
Almost everybody in America knows somebody with a disability, or we're all caring for aging parents at this point. We've all experienced it. And if you go to a place or you participate with a company that has reached out to your family member, you're going to frequent
that
place.
My wife was injured back in December. Okay. Here we are in July. She's still walking with a walker. Okay. She's been in a wheelchair for 4 months. This is a woman who's never been faced with any of this in her life, okay? And I am having to accommodate her in all of that, right? So let me tell you, my friends.
You're a believer now.
Big old-fashioned sort of way.
Right.
But that's a fact. And yes, now my sensitivity is heightened.
Right.
Because I'm aware of, wait a minute, we can't park here. We got to be over there. Yeah.
Right. But see, the sad thing is most people don't join the disability community until they have to.
Mm.
That's one of the things that makes me different. I don't have a family member with a disability. I'm not out representing myself in any way. And when I go to talk to legislators, they will listen because it's a different perspective. There's all of the people who are having to do it, and they're like, well, they've got their own agenda. But what agenda do I have?
Right.
It's the right thing to do. We're America. We welcome everybody. Why?
We still hope so.
Yeah.
We're working for that.
But the big piece of that to me is that the disability minority is the only minority that can be discriminated against by the built environment.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. And that's about it. Yeah. And the built environment are things that we created.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And we can fix that.
Yep.
Right.
And there are many things within the natural environment that needs to stay exactly the way.
Right.
Like, we don't need to put an elevator on the Grand Canyon.
Talking with J.R. Exactly. Harding and Christy Avalos, you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. This portion of our show brought to you by A Country Rose Florist. You can find him online at acountryroseflorist.com. Stay with me. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, folks, I'm Jerry Thigpen, blues guitar player here in Tallahassee, coming at you for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on 93.
So we're back. We're talking with Christy Avalos, J.R. Harding, who we have not been very kind, I have to admit, in this broadcast, because the guy's a published author, and he's got a brand new book out that I haven't even mentioned yet, which is entitled ADA Adventure. Is that right? Okay. And the subtitle, A Quadriplegic's Journey. And then he has Advocacy, Life, Empowerment, J.R. Harding, with a co-author, I guess, Eric Sarkissian?
Sarkissian, correct.
Eric Sarkissian. So this is available at Amazon?
It is.
Uh-huh.
And your downloadable, what's it?
Like playbooks or... the Kindle.
The Kindle, thank you. Right? I couldn't find the word.
Right, well, you know, whatever. And then, of course, if you aren't familiar with this, prior, his book entitled Now What? This is really his personal story, if you will. The fact that you were injured twice.
Twice. When I went to college, there was one, two, three of us. At a university. Today, right here in Tallahassee, we have three significant post-secondary schools. Florida State, FAMU, and TCC.
Christy, you've talked about, JR, you're talking about, we look the other way, don't we?
We don't know how to deal with it.
We just don't know what to say. And so do we apologize? Do we feel sorry for you? Oh, gee, that's sad. Let's not put that person in our TV commercial because we don't want to bring anybody down here. Well, why can't we simply say it's just another person? Well,
part of life.
And actually, that's what it says in the law. And the preamble of the Americans with Disabilities Act, that it says living with a disability is a natural part of life.
Yeah.
You know, we come into the world needing help, right? Yeah. Whether it's mom changing you and changing your diapers, and you have all your sights, sounds, and abilities.
Yeah.
And then as you leave this world, then you also need assistance with dressing and bathing and those kinds of things. And maybe there are some other pieces along that continuum that, you know, change things.
Mm.
And, you know, I think there's some other pieces to be excited about as well for your readers. Not only, you know, through the book that I talk about, that we can travel, we can have, we can water ski, we can scuba dive,
right.
We can marry, we can own a house, we can work. All of these things are part of that dream, but I think society wants more now, and they're beginning to push that envelope.
Well, in fact, the first book, Now What, is your personal chronicle, and then this ADA adventure, sizably more about all that you have been doing. How is this book different, I guess?
Well, I think, in a sense, it's a roadmap of saying not to be afraid of employment, of politics, of love, of independent living, of traveling, of making amends, being able to leave a lasting mark that you need to, you know, raise your hand, that push your way through.
Don't let your particular circumstances define you. You are who you are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And because of that, you have some unique contributions to make.
Christy, it seems like your focus is not only that involves advocacy, but actually consultation, right? So you've talked about the airline that you consulted with. Then there was this occurrence with the folks out there in Dallas. Tell us about that whole thing.
Yeah, I was the consultant for the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. And in the very beginning of the project, I was drawing from a project we had just finished, which was the American Airlines Center. And on the American Airlines Center project, one of the people that we had on our advisory board, I always try to put together an advisory board made up of people with disabilities that that are going to frequent that venue so that their input matters, you know?
Okay.
And so one of the people said, who had a service dog, said, you know, there's never a place for my service dog to relieve themselves. So outside of each of the major entries, we took out concrete and we put in grass, called it a service animal relief area. That wasn't required by any law. But because of that, we got 42 national articles about it being the most accessible stadium in the country.
Wow.
And so that
clicked.
It did. It made me go, wait a minute. We can get sued for doing it wrong or for not, you know, maybe doing less than we have to do, or we can turn it into a marketing advantage and we can go a little bit above. So we went right from that project shortly after to the new Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Wow.
And in a conversation early on with the Jones family as well as the design team, I said, you know, if we just go a little bit above and beyond, I can make you look good. And Jerry Jones laughed and said, nobody can do that.
But I would agree with that.
a lot of people will. But I have to say, he was always cordial to me. But the every ramp in that stadium, the standards say that the slope of a ramp is 1 to 12, 1 inch to every 12 inches, okay, which is 8.33%. That is the maximum slope allowed. But at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, we did every ramp at 1 to 14, which makes the slope more gentle. It's easier for people in wheelchairs, especially manual wheelchairs, who are really, you know, having to pump to go up to different levels. But it's also easier for people using walkers or canes and crutches, you know, pushing baby strollers. I mean, it works for everybody.
Right.
And that's the thing that people need to understand, is access works for everybody.
Right. And that's, I think, the dream behind the Americans with Disabilities Act, right? and especially as it relates to our men and women soldiers who have really lost a limb, an eye, a leg, or, you know, are paralyzed like me, is that these tools that we legislated for, that we fought for, benefit everyone.
That's right. Remarkable.
Really, what's good for me is really good for you.
That's everybody.
Well, and I talk to a lot of architects. I do a lot of training. And my absolute favorite project of all of the projects I've done over the last 35 years, my absolute favorite project was the new DFW International Terminal D. Huh. And the reason that was my favorite project is because, again, we had an advisory board. One of the people on the advisory board was the Southwest Regional Director of the American Foundation for the Blind. She's totally blind. Brilliant, fabulous woman. And she said, you know, I could navigate an airline terminal if you give me some clues in which to do so. All right, well, what does that mean? She goes, well, if you just change the flooring in front of the gates, I can come in at gate 22 and count the flooring changes down to gate 38 for my connection.
Wow, imagine that.
Yeah.
and you wouldn't even think about that.
No.
And I think pulling off of Christie's idea, we heard earlier today from Florida State University, uh-huh. who's doing a lot of exciting things with their stadium change, upgrades there. But they're actually doing a great big wayfinding tool that people will be able to call it up on their phone or look ahead in advance on the website.
Very cool.
Where all the accessible parking is, what path of travel you should use, and what doors are automated for those who aren't able to open those great big heavy fire metal doors and need assistance by hitting a button. And so this is kind of where we're going, where it's about independence. Mm-hmm. It's about self-sufficiency, self-reliance.
Fantastic. Folks, our guest this morning, J.R. Harding, author, advocate, guest speaker for those who are challenged with disabilities, and really on behalf of all of us, as we accommodate those changes that are bringing about a better way of life for us here in America. Christie Avalos, his colleague with Accessology. Accessology is a company that does just what she's described here, this consulting role in which those people who are looking to be not only compliant, but proactive, right, in finding better solutions.
Exactly.
A wonderful opportunity to have both of you here this morning. Thank you for being our guests. We look forward to learning more as we continue this conversation in the weeks and months ahead. Folks, don't forget the book is available online. It's called ADA Adventure, J.R. Harding with Eric Sarkastian.
Sarkastian,
yeah. And so we'll look forward to having you back. Folks, that's all I've got for you this morning. Thank you for joining me. Tallahassee Talks is the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. We are here every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock for your benefit, and appreciate very much that you would choose to join us. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next Saturday morning right here at 93.3 FM. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk with me.